Perhaps I begin with verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Amen. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I return to my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. And he goeth and he taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be with unto this wicked generation. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. I'll read you one more. Thank you for taking the overactive little ones back on the back seats. If you get a little overactive, it won't be little long. They're treading on your apron strings now, and they'll tread on your heart later. Amen. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Get a load of this one. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Amen. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Amen. Who is my mother? Praise God. Driving in last night from Arkansas in the wee hours of the morning, we was having the funeral of Mother Teresa and Calcutta, India, and the greats of the world were gathered to give honor to this remarkable woman. I don't know anything about Mother Teresa. I don't know whether she had an experience with God or not. I'm sure she did a lot of good. So much good that it'd probably be hard to replace as far as being able to carry on the work and raise the money to carry it on. She'll be hard to replace. Amen. Question is, who is my mother? One newscaster said one reason there were so many attending the funeral was because they were already in Europe for Princess Diana's funeral. And so it was easy for them to attend the funeral of Mother Teresa. That Mother Teresa's funeral wouldn't have been as well attended or as great a crowd as especially the dignitaries of the earth and the powers that be, had they not already been over there in Europe. It wasn't near as far to go to be at the funeral of Mother Teresa. Amen. Who is my mother? Praise God. Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Praise God. The world today is full of, I call them, do-gooders. Amen. They decide all of a sudden that they want to do some good for society. And every religion has them. Amen. Bobby Grove, he thought he ought to sing gospel songs before he ever got saved. Amen. And he was talking to one of the leading gentlemen in Nashville, Tennessee, that he wanted to start a recording gospel. He said, why in the world do you want to do that? Well, he said, I think it's needed. Amen. Before he even got saved, he was interested in recording gospel songs. There's a lot of people singing gospel songs that are singing their own condemnation. That's what one fellow got up and testified in my church in Dale, Illinois, sung gospel for years. And finally he got saved. He said, you know, he said, I was singing my own condemnation for years. Amen. And finally got saved. Praise God. I wonder what they think about when they sing about heaven and they're not even going. I wonder what to think about when they sing about being lost and going to hell and they're going. Singing, as he said, in my pulpit in Dale, Illinois. Amen. Dale Peacock's church, he was singing his own condemnation. Amen. I call them do-gooders. The world's full of them. And they have their place, and thank God for the good they do. The world needs them, I guess. Amen. But just because they do a whole lot of good don't mean necessarily that they're going to heaven. Paul said, if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and don't have anything. I mean, that's not what he said. And have not charity. Amen. Did you ever hear anybody say after somebody preached or testified, you know, I believe he's really got something. You know, I felt something when he sung. I felt something when he preached. I believe he's really got something. Amen. What was that something that you felt? What was that something that you felt you got a handle on, praise God, while they're singing and while they're preaching? And that's something you really believe he's got, praise God. That's the something that makes a difference. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Paul called it charity. That's love in action. That's not love in word, but love in deed and in truth. Praise God. There are a lot of movie actors can play the part. And I hardly ever hear a play, Christmas play, no matter how poorly portrayed or how badly the young folks know their parts, I always cry. Amen. Because I'm tender-hearted. I'm glad I am. Amen. I cry at other folks' funerals too. Amen. Because I'm tender-hearted. I'm glad I am. I went to a funeral in Granite City. Brother Ralph Cook's brother died. And amen. They were all Catholics. Ralph Cook was a Catholic. When he got saved, he went to bed one night dying with tuberculosis and woke up the next morning healed. And him a Catholic. God healed him and saved him, praise God, and filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he founded Bethel Chapel and preached the gospel for 50 years in Granite City, Illinois. My wife's home church, my wife's old pastor, Brother Ralph Cook. I went to his brother's funeral, amen. And his brother died and the whole family there. Nobody cried. Except Brother Cook and his wife in that whole funeral. Nobody cried. We're living in a day when it's almost out of style to cry. Amen. Hey, just about any old actor can put on the dog and make me cry. Because I'm tender-hearted. Amen. And there's a lot of actors out in the world that's putting on the dog too. Huh? Amen. Oh, yes. Mother Teresa did a lot of good. Princess Diana was a figure in many charitable organizations and probably did a lot of good. But Jesus said, "Who is my mother?" That changes the whole color of everything. And he tells who his mother is. Amen. And he said, "They that hear the word of God and keep it, the same shall be my mother, my brother," in one place. "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven," here in Matthew 12:50, "is the same as my brother and my sister and my mother." Hey, it's not always what you say, but it's what you do in the way of doing the will of the Father. Amen. So after listening for a long time to the funeral, punching buttons and running across the radio channel hopping, trying to find something to keep me awake. Amen. And got a talk show in Cleveland, Ohio. And he was interviewing a medium. And he asked this medium the question. This medium, he had supernatural powers. He could bring up the dead, get messages from the dead. And he's one of the few that they said was for real. When he has a seance, he don't turn out the lights and put their hands on the table and spread curtains and do hocus pocus dominocus. And amen. He just sits around in the living room on the couch and chair. And amen. And people ask him questions and he's able to hear from the other side. And then the talk show host asked him the question, "Do you believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God?" And he said, "In no way." Amen. That clinches it, folks. I don't care how much good a man does, how much supernatural power he has, how he can claim to contact the other side and tell things that only those families knew about their loved one. Amen. It's of the devil. It's a consortation with demons. Amen. Let me tell you, folks, if Mother Teresa was still praying, I don't know whether she did or not, but if she's still praying to the Virgin Mary, it's of the devil. Amen. If she was of that bunch that's, amen, praying to tapestry and kissing toes and, amen, of statues of saints and lighting candles, and I'm afraid she is. I'm afraid that she is. And all of this is idolatry. And St. Paul said, "The idol is the worship of devils." Idolatry is a consortation with devils. I don't care how religious it is. It's demonic. Amen. Oh, yes. Jesus' earthly mother was kind of slow about believing on Christ. Somebody said familiarity breeds kindness. Is that Mark? Amen. Or Brother Ray, or somebody said familiarity breeds contempt. Told about that boy that walked up to his pastor and pulled his necktie down. Amen. Amen. I know a fellow that went to a church, and Chief Harrison went to a church. Amen. I'm pretty sure Chief Harrison went to a church that was so fanatical about neckties. Amen. That they cut his off. Amen. Just left him with a nub sticking down there. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. Well, familiarity sometimes does breed contempt. Amen. She was around Jesus all his growing up years. Then when Joseph died, he helped make the living. He was the oldest one in the family. Therefore, He carried on the carpenter's trade. He was known in Nazareth as the carpenter's son. Amen. He went to school with his little brothers and sisters at the synagogue. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. I know that the Bible says that that he never learned letters, or the scribe and Pharisees said he didn't learn letters. And so I had a family that fell out with me in Kansas City because I said Jesus went to school. Amen. And they want me to prove it by the Bible. You see, some folks think Jesus was born talking, walking, doing miracles and everything else. Amen. No, he took upon himself some limitation. Man, he hadn't learned to talk. He hadn't learned to walk. Amen. And he had to go to school. He went to the synagogue. It was his habit to go to the synagogue. He'd been there a lot of time. He was raised up right in the synagogue. The synagogue was both school and church and courthouse. Amen. And social center, for that matter. Amen. But Jesus was a regular attendant at the synagogue. What is a synagogue? Synagogue is the nearest we can come to a local church in the Bible. The synagogue was where the Jews gathered in the dispersion. In fact, they started synagogues everywhere they went, and they say that synagogues were the synagogue was the child of the dispersion. Since they couldn't go to the temple, they couldn't come back to Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the world, they built synagogues everywhere and went as far as they could, did as much as they could in the synagogue, and became both their school and their courthouse and their social center. Amen. And that was the origin of the synagogue. Jesus, amen, raised right up in the synagogue. And right now, Jesus' mother is having a lapse as far as her faith is concerned. Amen. We might ask the question, where was she all the rest of the time in Jesus' ministry? And that's why Jesus points to those followers that follows him day and night and sleeps on the ground. Amen. And our figures in this revival, praise God, that Jesus is having this itinerant evangelist. Praise God, and his mother's just now trying to get on the bandwagon with the boys. You see, James and Jude didn't believe on Jesus until after he rose from the dead. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They didn't believe he was the Christ until after he rose from the dead. They came around. Amen. And Mary, she came around finally too. Amen. She got on the bandwagon in time to follow him all the way to Golgotha's hill, praise God. But James and Jude wasn't there. John couldn't turn her over. Jesus couldn't turn her over to James and Jude to watch after. He was back home to take care of the business. Amen. James and Jude wasn't there. And so Jesus said from the cross, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." Praise God. Mary finally came around to believing on Jesus Christ. She finally came around to dauntless, determined, committed faithfulness to Jesus Christ, who is her son in the flesh. That, my friend, amen, is his mother. "But when they said, thy mother and thy brethren are without, desiring to speak with thee," hey, where were they at all the rest of the time? They could have been there all the time if they'd have paid the price and followed. Amen. But no, they decided, well, we're going to pull rank. This crowd's big. Amen. And we ought at least have a chance to speak to him. He was raised in our household. We ought to. And so they sent word up the line to Jesus, "Thy mother and thy brethren, they stand without." Amen. They could have been on the inner circle all the time. Of all the words of tongue or pen, there's none so sad as what might have been. Praise God. I preached the other night on prodigal or perdition. Amen. And I'll tell you what, no matter which way it turns out, it's always prodigal. If you backslid and stay backslid, it's still prodigal. And if you just stay backslid a little while, or you backslide three times and get back three times, you wasted precious time. Three times you wasted precious years. Three times you wasted precious moments. Three times you wasted precious days. Three times you lost things that you'll never get back. And so no matter which way it goes, if they backslide and stay backslid, or if they backslide and get back 10 times, backsliding is always prodigal. I say, what a waste. Amen. Amen. Maybe Mary thought that she had to stay home. Maybe she felt compelled to stay home. A lot of folks do. They're held down by family affairs. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to hate everything in the world, even your own life, and take up your cross daily and follow me. Well, my family, you can't put your family before Jesus. Well, my son, my daughter, you can't put your son, my husband, my wife, you can't put your husband or wife before Jesus. If you do that, you won't help them to get saved. You only help them to get saved by being faithful. And way down deep inside, did you know they want you to be faithful even though they're not saved themselves? Amen. Jesus' earthly mother seems to have had a lapse about now and is slow to believe. At one time, they thought he was beside himself. That he had gone mad and lost his mind. Amen. And they came to rescue him. Amen. Jesus' brothers, they didn't believe till after the resurrection. Oh, I know there's a whole movement. The whole Roman church believes that Mary didn't have any more children. Can you believe that? With a Bible to read that says his sisters and his brethren are here with us. Amen. Whence hath this man these things? Who does he think he is? Amen. The townspeople of Nazareth knew he had brothers and sisters. Amen. I'll tell you. Amen. If Mother Teresa believed, as many do, that Jesus didn't have no brothers and sisters, she's among that group that twist the Word of God, that rest the Scriptures. And with all the good that she did in the world, she's going to have trouble in the judgment. Isn't it amazing how people be so smart, have so much light, and read so many books, and write so many books, and haven't got a lick of sense about common, ordinary truths of the Word of God. Amen. Amazing. Amazing. Simply amazing. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Praise God. Boy, I'll tell you what. You can read the book of James and you'll find that James got a good conversion when he got it. You can read the book of Jude, and hey, he was aiming to write a longer letter, but boy, he wrote so powerful in the one little short letter that he wrote, one chapter that he wrote, praise God. He never did have to write another one. Hallelujah. These are the half-brothers of the Lord. They had the same mother, but they didn't have the same father. Jesus' father was heavenly. Praise God. Glory to God. Oh, yes. I read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen. Most religions have charitable organizations. Most religions at least put on a front of doing good for the poor, if for no other reason of milking funds from the society around them and exciting the compassion of the people, their constituency. Amen. Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Amen. Amen. The Mormons believe in speaking in tongues. But Brigham Young said of Joseph Smith, if he wants to sleep every night with his neighbor's wife and get drunk every night, amen, when he dies, he'll still go to heaven. Amen. They won't, and I'm afraid he didn't. Amen. They shot him in Nauvoo, Illinois, escaping from jail. Amen. Quoting the secret code of the Freemasonry order as he climbed out the window. It didn't work for him. Amen. Copied many of his rites from Freemasonry. Joseph Smith stands in question tonight in eternity. Amen. The Mormons believe in speaking in tongues, but they don't have the real thing. Hallelujah. They don't even have the real Bible. I mean, you put something that man has wrote up the side of the Word of God, you're in big trouble according to the book of Revelation. Amen. Your part shall be taken out of the book of Revelation and you add to it, and the plagues thereof will be added to you. Hell, brother, take the Word of God just like it is, wouldn't you? Amen. Brigham Young himself and the dying testimony of Bill Hickman, his destroying angel. Bill Hickman told about how many people Brigham Young told him to kill when they got in the way. Amen. Brigham Young would give the order to Bill Hickman to use them up. Bill Hickman was his hatchet man. Bill Hickman could ride and shoot, and he hunted down the men that Brigham Young said, use him up. Amen. And killed. And while Bill Hickman's testimony, amen, of the people that he had killed in the Mormon church and otherwise, amen, in those days when the media couldn't get to you and when you could hide in the wilderness, amen, and nobody knew what you was doing. You see, nowadays, the media's everywhere. You can't do much without them finding you. Amen. We live in a day where there's literally no place to hide. They got satellites flying over our head any day that can take a picture of you in your backyard and enlarge it and tell what you're doing. Amen. Any time, they just about take a notion. All they got to do is wait for the satellite to pass over, and they can take a picture, amen, of what's going on in your backyard. We live in a day when there's no place to hide. Everything's out in the open. There's very little that they don't know about us. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and am not charity, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Amen. No boy in Kansas City went to my church. Amen. He was having a time with some of the Mormons in Kansas City. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has two headquarters. The split has Independence, Missouri as their Zion. Amen. And the old Orthodox still have Salt Lake City, Utah. So Jesus is coming back to Independence, Missouri, according to the newly reformed Latter-day Saints. That's the Zion he's coming to. And according to the old school, he's still coming back to Salt Lake City. Hoop-de-doo. Amen. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, he read it right from the Mormons' own writings, how that they believed in speaking in tongues. And he kindly upset some of them's apple cart. They didn't know that their body believed in speaking in tongues. They'd never heard anybody. They just believed it was for the apostle, but it's wrote right in their creed that they believe in speaking in tongues. Amen. Oh, yes. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Oh, there's a bunch of them. Oh, they're writing books. Oh, they're everywhere. And if you're not careful, in a weak moment, you'll be tempted in idle curiosity to try it out. Heard about a boy that left church right here and went to see one of these mediums. Amen. Praise God. He didn't do too well after that either. Hasn't done too well since either. Amen. Saul didn't do too well after he went to see one, did he? Amen. I mean, that was a third strike and out for Saul. Amen. I mean, brother, they found him out. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all ministries and all knowledge, mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, all faith. You ever pray for somebody and say, oh, I've got all the faith in the world? I heard a woman tell that to a preacher once, said, here, you pray for me then. Amen. I've got all the faith in the world. Hey, what are you doing in my prayer line then if you got all the faith in the world? Praise God. Hey, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. How many think you can feel that something? Huh? How many think you know it when you see it? You can feel it when you feel it. At least you know when it's not there. Praise God. Amen. Hey, you know when he's really got something. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I call them do-gooders. In this society we call the world. Amen. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Amen. Amen. I went to the graveyard yesterday. I hadn't been there in a while. And so I went out to Old Flint Cemetery and drove my mom and daddy's grave. There was a new grave in the old cemetery. It was the Fulton County Sheriff, my uncle's son. He was born in 1957. He died in 1997, 40 years old. Same age of my daughter, Jack Collins. My tax bill in Arkansas still comes from Jack Collins. They didn't even change that as the deputy took over. Amen. Oh, they covered up everything in the autopsy. They covered up the drugs and they covered up the alcoholism. Amen. And there was little said about the wild lifestyle that he was living. The fellow I talked to said Jack did okay as long as just a game warden, he had a boss. But when he became sheriff and didn't have a boss anymore, amen. You know, we need to learn how to take orders before we can give them. We need to learn how to obey. The fellow I was talking to said, and I quote, he said they killed him when they elected him sheriff. That's what killed him. He found out it was more responsibility, a bigger job than he thought. I drove by his grave and looked down on top of that new mound and read his name. We was proud of Jack, sheriff of Fulton County. Same age of my daughter, born in the same year. Amen. But he's gone now. Gone into eternity. Amen. They said he had a heart attack. Amen. And certain kind of drugs mixed with booze will do that. It'll stop your heart. A lot of sports figures found that out. Amen. When they decided to live it up for a short time, they never woke back up again. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you, you can be a champion of law and order and carry a big gun on your hip to enforce it. Amen. But if you're not right with God and you haven't got that something that comes from heaven, it won't do you no good when you stand before the judgment bar of God. Amen. Sad day. Amen. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Isn't that a terrible thing? Give your body to be burned and then land in hell and burn some more. Because you gave your life to the wrong religion. The fellow that wrote the book, 30 Years a Watchtower Slave, dedicated it to the memory of his dying father when they still lived in Germany, who on his dying bed took hold of his hand and trembling voice said, "Son, we've been wrong in our religion." But he said, "I was so bound by Jehovah's Witnesses that for 30 years, even though I knew they were wrong, I couldn't get loose." And he said, "The only way I ever got loose was shut myself in the closet with not one piece of Jehovah Witness literature and nothing but the Bible and seek God until I was set free." 30 years, a watchtower slave. Knew it was wrong. You talk about calling back from the other side. You talk about life after death. His own daddy told him as he made the dark plunge into eternity, "Son, we've been wrong in our religion. That's not the time to find it out." The time to find out if you're right with God or not is right now. The time to say you're sorry to God, your wife, your husband, your children, your mom, your dad, your neighbor, whatever, is right now. Amen. A case-hardened heart sitting around in a holiness church, amen, it's a disaster. It's a travesty. It's of unheard of proportions, amen, to go to hell from a church pew. Amen. But I know some old preachers, unless they got right, they did. Amen. They one time had the goods, lost out with God. Amen. I talked to a brother the other day, I mentioned it the other night. Asked him about his father-in-law. Amen. He said, "He's not doing too good." I'm talking about an old-time holiness preacher that trusted God for his healing all of his life and was so holy. I bought him a watch one time, had his name on it, the reason I gave it to him. Amen. And he took the band off of it and stuck it in his pocket. He wouldn't wear a watch. That's his standard. That's okay. Amen. Made a pocket watch out of it. Amen. He said if he died today, he wouldn't be ready to meet God. I've known a bunch like that. Well, I'll say a bunch. I've known several like that. I know some like that right now. If they died suddenly without a chance to make it right, amen, they've gone against everything they ever preached, they'd have trouble in the judgment. It's a bad time to find it out when you're plunging into eternity whether you've got something or not. Whether you got the goods or not. Amen. Harold Jones, man, church man, taught Sunday school in the Methodist Church in Barberville, Kentucky. Amen. One day I asked him, "How do you know that you're ready to meet God if he should come or call you in the next 5 minutes?" And he thought for a moment and said, "You think anybody really knows that?" I said, "Yes." Praise God. And we better know it tonight. Amen. Bible said for us to know in our own selves whether we be in Christ or not, except we be reprobate. We'd examine ourselves and know in our own hearts whether we're ready to meet God or not, except we be reprobate. Stand with me tonight. God in heaven, touch this message and help us, Lord Jesus, to answer the question honestly. If we're His mother, His brethren, His sisters, if we're part of the family of God tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. As they sing, we invite you to come and pray with us around this altar of prayer. Amen. Examine your heart. Make your calling election sure. Forgive everybody and everything. Amen. Let God have you 100%. Praise God.